Good morning.
I am deeply grateful to be a citizen of the United States. And I guess I could say I consider my citizenship to be one of my most prized possessions. Privilege, really, to be an American. And I love this coming week, the 4th of July. We all know this is the time of the year when the watermelons are juicing. Flags are flying everywhere, up and down the streets, fireworks up in the sky that night, I'm sure. See kids running around on their bicycles and flags being waved, family picnics together. Even churches gather to worship and to sing patriotic songs this time of the year. Apple pies in the oven. Let me know if you've got one. You go to the ballpark, I guess you could hear the crack of the bat. That's this time of the year as well. I guess we could say all of those are American traditions. And we can keep them if we maintain the ancient landmarks that our forefathers have established. There's a father who was talking to one of his rather obstinate sons one day. And the father said, every person who lives in the United States is a privileged person. To which the son immediately answered, I disagree. And the father replied, that's the privilege. We have the privilege to speak our religion, of speech, of to remember these, to hope and to dream and to pursue our precious to live here. But we have these freedoms because of what our forefathers of America, our forefathers have laid for us. It was wise, composed, find them and read them. They help us to know how best to get along in life. Let me share just one. It's found in Proverbs chapter 22, verse 28, if you want to follow me there. It simply says, do not remove the ancient landmark which your fathers have set. Now, if you can picture, I think you understand that in ancient days, they set stone boundaries to define what property was yours. And if you moved one of those stone boundaries, you were, in a sense, stealing land. But the boundaries in Israel were different in the sense that God owned all of the land, as he really owns all of our land as well. And he proportioned to the different tribes different amounts of land. We can find all of that over in the book of Joshua. So it was illegal for you to move one of those stones. It was a violation of the covenant and the oath that you had with God. You could pull back a boundary and say, you don't want to take care of that land. That also would be a reneging on the commitment that you should have with God. So the boundaries established by their forefathers were to be preserved. Unfortunately, moving of boundaries is very prevalent today. Not so much in the realm of property. I mean, in the old days, they would go out there with a chain and they would mark it all off and put a stake. Now they can just look down from the satellites, and with GPS, they can pinpoint with great accuracy where the corners of your property are. But we're guilty of moving other landmarks that our forefathers have laid. Some of the founding principles, the landmarks, the ancient boundaries by which God wanted America to be founded upon and for us to follow. First of these is liberty and sacrifice. Someone modernized Thomas Jefferson's words when he was talking about the Tree of Liberty, if you remember that phrase. They write it this way, the temptation is to enjoy the fruits of citizenship without tending the tree of liberty. And that quote goes to the heart of the problem. Many of us have earned no freedom. It has been given to us. and we enjoy it without having to tend the tree of liberty. Someone adapted Joshua's words from long ago. You'll remember they go kind of like this. We eat from orchards we did not plant. We drank from wells we did not dig. We reap from fields we did not sow. Fires we did not kindle warm us. Roofs we did not build shelter us. We are blessed by monies we did not give. If we ever move the ancient landmark of liberty and sacrifice, then we too are fudging on our commitment to tend the tree of liberty that was provided to us not by our own acts of service or self-sacrifice or civic duty, but by those of our forefathers. And if we don't keep that landmark, in the future, the 4th of July won't just be fireworks and flags. It will be a fading memory of something that no longer exists. John Adams signed the Declaration of Independence. And when he did, he said these words, "Whether we live or die, sink or swim, succeed or fail, I stand behind this Declaration of Independence. And if God wills it, I am ready to die in order that this country might experience freedom." That's the kind of patriotism that led men that were armed with little more than hunting rifles to take on the biggest war power in the world, in England. And many of our forefathers paid the terrible price in order for us to have success in the Revolutionary War and to win our freedom. So you might say, we are citizens of this land, of the free and the home of the brave, not by actions we have taken, by actions others have taken. So I'm thankful to be a citizen of the United States. But with that citizenship comes responsibility. And so you have to ask yourself, is the world a better place because you're a citizen of this country? Is your community better because you're a part of it? Is your church stronger because you're in it? Are you, like many, enjoying the fruits but not tending the tree of liberty? Remember the landmark of liberty and sacrifice. You may recall the name, perhaps not. Peter Marshall. He happened to be a chaplain of the United States Senate. He started in 1947 and he died in 1949. And one day he gave this prayer before our Senate. Lord Jesus, thou who art the way, the truth, and the life, hear us as we pray for the truth that shall make all free. Teach us that liberty is not only to be loved, but to be lived. Liberty is too precious a thing to be buried in books. It costs too much to be hoarded. Help us see that our liberty is not the right to do as we please, but the opportunity to do what is right. There's a second landmark. I call it capitalism and conscience. If you read history, and I often do, our forefathers came to this country and they founded our system of government because they were convinced that there was a higher power who was involved in the destinies of men and of nations. And they believed that we were endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And it was evident in the way they wrote, evident in the way they lived, in the way our nation was developed. There was a moral fiber behind all of it, a moral strength to our nation. But today that doesn't seem to be the case. Our society is so caught up in so many places with so many people, in greed and materialism, that we're only interested in ourselves. And if we move that landmark, then we return to the primitive law, the survival of the fittest. And in many ways, we're there now. We're all concerned about having and making more and more, and that's okay. But if we slip into capitalism without conscience, we are in danger of moving the landmark. What is capitalism? Well, in short, it simply means a free market. Free to buy, to sell, to make a profit, to earn your own living. But capitalism without a conscience then becomes cruel, and it becomes a ruthless form of life where competition and success and greed and materialism corrupt it all, and we lose concern for each other. We only have concern for ourselves. And so, as they say, we step on each other as we try and climb the ladder and get to the top. You see it in the headlines. Recent years, there have been some massive frauds, ethical collapses in some of our biggest institutions. I mean, just a few years ago, you remember Wells Fargo, the bank? They sent all these fake accounts, set you up with a credit card, opened in your name, so that they could hit their sales targets. People could make a profit. Or you remember that gal that's in prison from, how do you pronounce it, Theranos? That was a breakthrough biotech company that could take and look at your blood and tell you everything about it from some machine. Billions of dollars were lost by investors. Lives were misled because the results were fraudulent. Trust was destroyed. Purdue Pharma, company behind the opioid crisis, aggressively pushed all those addictive pain pills that we've been taking, hiding all the risk, and thousands of lives were affected. All of these are moral failures. There were people in their greed decided to move the landmark of capitalism. If we're capitalists without a conscience, then we have not done what God desires for us in this country in which we live. Pursue your goals. Make your dreams come true. But seek God, and when you have been prosperous and blessings have come your way, remember to give Him the glory. That's what Jonathan read in the scriptures. Remember your into this. And let's keep the ancient landmark of capitalism in conscience. The last one, religious freedom and commitment. You know, it's clear if you study, the founding fathers made it clear that Congress could not, would not establish a state religion. Still in the debate today. And Americans were free to worship God according to the dictates of their own conscience, as long as it didn't infringe upon somebody else's rights. But they did something that we have forgotten. They assumed that people would want to worship God and to serve their Creator. And that's why the documents are written the way they're written. But today, many Americans have a freedom of religion, but they don't use it. And this is one of our greatest national landmarks, and it is being moved. We don't value its importance. The Barna Group did a study recently. It said 65% of Americans identify as Christians. Less than 30% go to church. But even more troubling, 1 in 3 said they very rarely go to church. Or they never go to church. And the majority, if they do go to church on Easter and Christmas. A freedom we don't use is a freedom that we will lose. So if we don't engage our religious liberties, the future generations are not going to inherit them. we have forgotten among our celebration of independence and freedom, the greatest freedom of all. We talked about it when we came to the table, where Christ went to the cross, gave his life to gain our freedom from sin. And if we believe that message, then we will be saved. But we're also called to be a part of his body, the church. And that's a message that America still needs to hear. Remember the landmark of religious freedom and commitment, and exercise your freedom to get up on Sunday morning and go to the Lord's house and to be at his table. Men and women have died so that you have the right to read your Bible, to assemble without fear that somebody's going to barge in the doors, to be able to speak about your faith in your Lord. And let's don't lose that by neglect. The French writer, Alex Tocqueville, if I pronounced that Frenchy-like, visited America in 1831. This is what he wrote. I sought for the greatness of the United States in her commodious harbors, her ample rivers, her fertile fields, her boundless forests. And it was not there. I sought for her in her rich mines, her vast world commerce, her public school system, and her institutions of higher learning, and it was not there. I looked for it in her democratic Congress and her matchless constitution, and it was not there. Not until I went into the churches of America and heard her pulpits flame with righteousness did I understand the secret of her genius and power. America is great because America is good. And if America ever ceases to be good, America will cease to be great. That was written almost 200 years ago. Sometimes I wonder, I think God has blessed America, but I wonder why. This country was founded on biblical principles that honor God. We even wrote it on the back of the dollar bill that's in your pocket, "In God we trust." They argue and they want to take that off. And yet we're drifting from that trust. No matter how prosperous we become, we must never forget that God is the giver and the sustainer of life and blessing. He gives, yes, sometimes he takes away. We lose the landmark of trusting in God, then we're in real trouble. If I look around, sometimes I feel like as a nation, we have forgotten God. Instead of seeking righteousness, as the Frenchman said, we chase after status and comfort and success, and our society turns freedom into license and riots into riots and sin into profit. And we elevate riches above righteousness and science above the Savior, and it shows in our children. Educators make this observation. Said back in the 1940s, teachers listed the top problem in schools as talking, chewing gum, and running in the hallway. Fast forward today, and educators say these are the problems in schools: cyberbullying, drug abuse, gender confusion, suicide, gun violence, and mental health breakdowns. That's some of the biggest challenges for our youth. According to data from the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, suicide rates among youth ages 10 to 24 have increased by nearly 60% since 2007. Anxiety and depression are soaring. And all the while, faith, which once anchored the soul, is being dismissed as outdated. I think you have still heard from time to time William Bill Bennett. He was U.S. Secretary of Education a while back. He once said this: there is a coarseness, a callousness, a cynicism to our era. The worst of it has to do with our children. Our culture seems almost dedicated to the corruption of the young. People are losing their capacity for shock, disgust, and outrage. It goes on to add, today we must carry on a new struggle for the country we love. If we have full employment and greater economic growth, if we have cities of gold and alabaster, but our children have not learned how to walk in goodness, justice, and mercy, then the American experiment, no matter how attractive we make it, will have failed. Federal Appeals Court in the United States not long ago debated whether or not the Pledge of Allegiance in public schools should still include the words "under God." One of the judges in opposition argued that to include "under God" is just as offensive as to say "not under God." But he misses the whole point entirely. It's not about preference. It's about remembrance. A nation that forgets God forgets the very landmark of the foundation of all of its blessings. Reminded of a solemn warning that God gave another nation. Jonathan read those scriptures found over in Deuteronomy chapter 8. Let me just summarize it. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land where you shall eat food without scarcity. When you have eaten and are satisfied, you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you. Beware, lest when you have eaten and are satisfied and have built good houses and lived in them, and your silver and your gold multiply and all that you have multiplies, then your heart becomes proud and you forget the Lord your God. Someday our economy could collapse. Our technology could all fail. Our strength could falter. When that happens, what do we have left? The only thing we have are those four words: in God we trust. That might be enough if we still believe it. How are the landmarks? Are the ancient boundaries in your life? Are you sacrificing for liberty? Are you exercising capitalism with conscience? Are you engaging in religious freedom with commitment? Are you maintaining a firm reliance upon God? Let me leave you with just three very simple challenges. Never be ashamed of your American heritage. Be proud of the freedoms that you enjoy. And don't forget who gave them to you. And second, establish some landmarks in your own life, some boundaries for yourself and for your family. Start with the ones we talked about today, but add to them. There are many. And finally, when a landmark has been correctly placed, proven right, don't move it. Thomas Jefferson wrote this: patriotism isn't a sharp burst of emotion on July 4th. It's the long and steady dedication of a lifetime. I hope you enjoy the food. And I brought some watermelon. We sing the song of invitation. Christ invites you to be a part of his kingdom. Let him walk with you. Enjoy his landmarks at his place, for they lead you in the right path. Come through faith, repentance of your sin, through confessing that you believe that Jesus is Christ. If you need to be immersed, let's do that. Let's rise to walk as a new creature, living the Christian life. Come if you will.